The ESL Rochester Fringe Festival, the most anticipated festival in the region, will once again excite audiences with nearly 650 performances September 9th through the 20th. From comedy, dance, and theater to jaw-dropping spectacles across 39 venues all around Rochester. Don't miss amazing performances in the Spiegel Tent, including the world premiere of Cirque du Fringe Claws Out, Shot Sphere, Kids Fringe, and more. And direct from Italy, Sphere, a mind-blowing outdoor spectacle, free at Parcel 5, September 19th and 20th. RochesterFringe.com.
Let's take a minute to talk about Joe Bean Coffee, my go-to for great beans here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador, and I regularly brew their coffee at home. A recent favorite of mine is the natural process Colombian Finca Buena Vista coffee from Edwin Zambrano. This coffee won a 2024 Good Food Award, and I can't help but agree with that assessment. My brews have been full with fruity flavors of pineapple, strawberry, and orange, and each cup has brightened my morning. Next time you need some beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester, or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. For our loyal listeners, save 15% off your next order at joebeanroasters.com with code LUNCHADOR. You can also subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy and receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule, and never be without great coffee again. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care. That music means it's another episode of Just Can't Not. I'm here with another Fringe Festival preview podcast. That's the ESL Rochester Fringe Festival happening from September 9th to the 20th in downtown Rochester, New York. Go to rochesterfringe.com to find out about all the events. Get the app too so you can get stuff on the fly. But I'm here with a guest. Guest, why don't you introduce yourself?
My name is Allison Eberhardt, and I'm performing in Fringe this year, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, so Allison's event is on September 11th at 8 o'clock p.m. at the Rochester Cinema, the Rochester Cinema Theater over at the corner of, what corner is that?
I always tell people that it's across the street from Highland Park Diner, but there's like 18 ways to be across the street at that intersection. So it's, Highland Park and Angry Goat. And
yeah, I don't think most people are going to reference the Valero gas station there.
Right, well, but that is there.
But it is there. And right down the street from one of my favorite restaurants in Rochester, Zometa Ethiopian.
Mm.
Great people. But why don't you tell me a little bit about your event, Allison's Angry Girl Era, and all the stories behind the songs.
Yeah, so I'm very excited. It's pretty much a tribute to all of the songs that I wrote when I was a teenager. I did a lot of songwriting in high school and into college. And what I think makes the show kind of funny is that it's not the songs themselves are not bad. It's just that the stories behind like what I felt was like the end of times at the time is so funny. So it's just, I wrote all these songs, and then I thought, again, what makes them fun is just to know like what I was thinking and doing at the time. So that's really what the show is. It's not just the songs. I'm just gonna go into like, here's what happened, here's the breakup that I went through during this time, and I had so much to say about it, and and I just think that it just makes it kind of fun and just very nostalgic about these songs that I don't even feel like they were that long ago, but I'm like, oh my god, like that was literally 17 years ago that I wrote these.
Oh my god, I'm an old, oh god, what
that's
happened?
That's how I felt. I was like, well, this one's kind of new. This one's come from 2015. I'm like, oh my god, that was a decade ago.
don't say words like that.
I know.
Because I randomly looked back like, oh, right, I am officially an old, like, I graduated college 20 years ago. I'm like, god damn it.
I know. Well, on that note, you should see me trying to navigate Instagram.
Let alone Snapchat.
I know.
I mean, come on. So I love that you mentioned, like, how the emotions of that time of life are, like, when things happen, it's end of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, that's endemic to being a teenager,
right,
to
right.
having those catastrophically big emotional reactions to what in retrospect are normal life events. But when you're looking back on that, both from like, hey, you're coming up with a performance, how do you take that and formulate it differently now as a fully fledged adult person?
I think, you know, I do to an extent try to just put myself in that moment of like, this is what, like, I remember, like, to, I do remember how mad I was when I wrote some of these. And even that, and even beyond that, just how I remember. So, like, one of the things that a lot of these songs, what I did as well, because I was an unhinged teenager, was performing them in front of the people who I wrote them about. yes, I know your face.
I am so excited. Like,
and so like that too, just like that feeling of like, got you, yeah. You know?
I mean, that description is like the single biggest, like, dramatic musical theatery, like, not to profile, but that is like, so like music theater, like, oh, I have to express this. And this is the way I'm going to get this out.
Exactly.
I have to do it through song because song is the best way to express anything.
Exactly. And, you know, because it's funny you say that, too, because that's how I was, like, you know, growing up. I started playing the piano very young, came from a musical family. And so my family would be like, you should listen to these singer songwriters and this. And when you think about where some of these people, like, it was in some of their teenage years when they really got started and started writing really well. And so I just kind of had it in my head, like, I should write songs. And I had always dabbled a little bit, but then it wasn't until high school where I was like, I'm going to put a fully fledged song together and then be really dramatic about it.
Yeah.
But I think in a way it did become an outlet, like songwriting, even if some of them were just bad and never saw the light of day. It was just like, this thing happened and now I'm going to channel that energy into songwriting because I'm an artist.
Capital A artist.
Yes.
What I'm kind of in, so there's two different paths I want to go down. I don't want to forget the second one.
Yeah.
So second one is kind of like, you know, coming up with songs and using that as a diary and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I did want to go back. I didn't want to forget about, you mentioned that you grew up in a family that was very musical,
mm-hmm.
and that you listened to these singer songwriters. What were the ones that like were played when you were younger that resonated with you, either that were current at the time or the ones that your parents were bringing up?
Yeah, so I grew up on, so my dad's side of the family was very musical. And in that sense, we listened to a lot. He was all like the kind of like Allman Brothers, Doors, like that kind of grittier Southern rock stuff. But it was really just, so as far as growing up in the musical family, that really it just encouraged my musical creativity. It wasn't necessarily everyone that they were listening to that made me be like, I should write songs. But then I did, you know, when I was a teenager, that was when like the female singers, like pop singer songwriters were really coming up. And it was like Michelle Branch, Vanessa Carlton. And that was why I was like, oh, okay, like, yeah, I want to be like them. Or like even Sarah Bareilles, like a little less, she's one of my favorites. So that was how I started trying to model my songs, like really, like Michelle Branch, I think, especially at that time, where it was, that was, you know, this quintessential like pop singer songwriter. That was what I was trying to be.
It was kind of the post
Avril Lavigne.
It was the post Lilith Fair with some either classical or, you know, pop punk styles that all kind of, you know, exploded out of that, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, that feminist specific movement of music through the 90s. And I didn't know if you was like going back to that stuff that was like, you know, was very raw in many ways and also amazing music. But
it's
I like that it's that era.
Yeah, stuff that I definitely appreciate and even more so now, like looking back at like Carole King or even I actually really loved Fiona Apple. Like it wasn't current at the time, but I was like, probably my mom had turned me on to her, and I loved her stuff too.
Well, because that's like, it's so visceral, right?
Yes,
I mean, there's
yes.
no, it feels like there's no veneer. It feels
mm-hmm.
like this is like, oh, I am open to everybody. This is emotion. This is my story.
Exactly.
Which, you know, has a romance to it. It has a specific appeal. Where, you know, sometimes I know personally, I will listen to stuff that is like very discordant from like, other things that is separated from reality, because that's like, oh, that's usually where I sit versus,
mm-hmm.
you know, listening to something that has that drive of emotion and
right.
personal story. So what I was wondering is when you went to actually start writing, was there like a specific first event that said, oh, this is the time where I'm going to write a song? versus just writing about it like in a diary or something else?
Right. Yes, it was right after my first breakup, and you know, in high school. And it wasn't actually even the breakup itself. It was like, okay, we broke up and, you know, we're teenagers, and it was pretty amicable and whatever. And then after the fact, my ex-boyfriend, like, he started getting, I could hear, like, he was like talking about me, or he was just like being kind of a jerk. And I was like, I thought we were good. Like, why are you being like this? Like, because we all had the same friends, you know, again, like, we're in high school. Like, what are we going to do? Like, the stakes weren't that high. So it wasn't like, we cannot be friends anymore. Like, so I was like, aren't we okay? And then I was like, apparently not. And then something about that just certain lines just started like kind of coming together. And I just sat down at the piano and was like, I need to write a song. Yeah. And that's where it came from. That's like what I'll open the show with, is that song. And it, like, that's what I always consider, even though I had like written some other songs before, that's what I really considered the first like real song that I wrote. It was like something that I put effort into and like made it sound good. And that's what I consider the starting point.
So, when you're, you know, what I'm kind of intrigued with is, so you had this, you know, burst of, you know, writing songs and doing that stuff. Did that progress since then? Is that something you go back to just as something you like doing?
Sometimes. I mean, the running joke is that when people ask me like, oh, so like, are you still writing? And I was like, I'm happily married and medicated. Like, what am I... Like, what? How could I possibly write anything anymore?
Yeah.
And I mean, to an extent, it is true, because it's not like, oh, people are like, all right, life is so great. And I was like, actually, well, like, no, I still have been through plenty of terrible things. It's just like, I think it's just, that's not really the outlet anymore.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do occasionally will, you know, jot down lines or something that if I feel like, you know, oh, okay, maybe I will come back to this and like write an actual song. But yeah, it's just funny, because yeah, at the time, you know, 15 years ago, I was like, I need to carve out time to work on this. And it just over time just didn't become something that I really did as much anymore. I think is what makes all of these songs even that more special, because it's just like, this is what I did at that time.
This is my output. This is my artistic output. I kind of find it intriguing, because, like, you know, when you don't have the rest of the tools to handle reality, like that, you found a tool.
Right, exactly.
And then you find other tools to, you know, where now you might consider that would be the kind of thing people might recommend, right? Writing, it's journaling, it's filtering it through something to express, you know, these things that have to be expressed. Because if you just sit inside them sometimes, it can be overwhelming, especially at that time of life.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And I'll still even like play sometimes, like even if I'm just kind of noodling on lyrics and stuff. But I don't like sit down and be like, well, now let me make it a song too. Like, I think that I don't now as an adult, I can recognize that it's still an outlet, but it doesn't need to. It's okay if I don't have a finished product from this. It's okay if I just want to use this art form to express myself, even if it's just to myself, and then be done with it.
So what I'm kind of intrigued with is, what was the impetus to actually take all that and create a show out of it? Was that something that had been bubbling for a while in your head and then there was a venue for it? Or how did that process go for you?
For a really long time, I have been like playing, and I can't even say dabbling, because we did work on it. I wanted to just have recordings of this. I was like, I've always been like, I want to make an album of just all these songs. Like, it's okay if four people buy it. Like, it's more just, it's for me and for the couple friends that I have that were like, did actually know all the words to my songs.
That's why God invented Bandcamp and SoundCloud.
Exactly. Well, I had some friends who did really like learn all the songs. And that was such a fun process, because I wrote them all just by myself on a piano or a guitar, and like bringing in a band to do that. And, try to, and like working with them. And I'm not, you know, I'm always like, I need a producer, because I was like, I don't know what I want it to sound like. But some of them I did, and we have so we did make a bunch of really great demos, but like, again, like life happens, and over time we were just like, oh, some of it wasn't recorded well, we should probably go redo this, oh, whatever. And that was, you know, literally 10 years ago that we were working on this. So I do have the demos, and then I got much more, I kind of got my recording set up like set up better during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And
as you do.
Right. And I was like, oh, I probably could do a lot of this myself again if we needed to like re-record it. And so again, I go through little bursts of like, yeah, I'm going to redo all of this. And I did actually this over this past winter was working on some of them, redoing some of the vocals and redoing some of the things that just weren't like recorded well. And I just was, again, I was like, I just really want to get all this done. And then I think when I saw Fringe come up, I was like, wait, this would actually be such a fun way to just like play all these songs, you know?
Whether or not, you know, the rest of it happens, like at least then there's this experience,
yes,
that
for sure
you were able to, you know, bring this to people,
mm-hmm,
in a way that I'm sure had some, you know, if you thought about that at the time, you either would have been like the most excited or the most terrified you could possibly
yes
be.
Yes. No, I mean, I actually just was texting when, so like what's fun too is that for pretty much all these songs, like all these guys that I wrote these songs about, like I'm on pretty much like good friendly speaking terms with all of them, because again, we were teenagers.
Yeah.
Like it's not there was nothing really that terrible. And I was saying to one of them, I'm like, I just found like this binder of songs that I had written, like ones I was like, some of them I'm like, I don't even remember writing this. I'm reading the lyrics. I don't even know who this is about. I was like, what was going on? Like, it just kind of like, what did I just black out and write a song? Like,
yeah.
But especially, probably.
Especially with the abstractions of songs too.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, this, you know, you created a black hole. You know, and I'm like, what? Which black
what?
Hole are you, what are you talking
exactly
about?
Exactly. You were mean to me. Well, yeah.
Yo, Elsa, what are you talking right about? I imagine you know, reading some of that and like, girl, what were you thinking?
No, and that is what's so funny too. Like there are a handful of lines that I was like, oh my, I'm having secondhand embarrassment for myself. Like it's just, oh Lord.
Well, and I also love that you mentioned that you were able to like go and try to explore this, because it's one of the amazing things about doing stuff like this now is you have the ability to do that stuff now.
Yes.
Because you have the ability at your fingertips with obviously the power of computing and the cheapness of audio equipment, mm-hmm, compared to what it was. Like, hey, I have a broadcast level studio in my house that
right
was not wildly expensive. Like it's a thing you can do now. Now that you're coming up to the show, is that something you're like, oh, I'm satisfied with this? Or do you still have that little inkling of, I want to finish?
No, I always have that itch of like, I just need to finish it. Cause like so much of it is so close too. And I think that's almost why I don't like sit down and I'm like, well, you know, it's not even going to take that much effort. Like I'll get to it. And I'm like, just do it. You just need to do it. And actually, you know, especially, you know, what part of it is like, I remember when I was younger and when I was in high school, that was kind of like the dawn of YouTube. Like,
yeah.
And that's when I would do a lot of mostly covers at that was what I would put on YouTube. But I started putting my original songs on there as well. And my friends would like rip the audio off and be like, yeah, I like this song. But now with all the streaming services, since I don't have anything on, like I've had friends be like, oh my God, like I just, you know, I only listen to Spotify. So I need to, you know, if you put those on there, like I will listen to them all the time. And I'm like, that, again, like I do want to do that because that is the best way to share a lot of this
sure
stuff now. There's not, it's not like you go on something and download it and then say, okay, like now I have it. It's streaming services. So that's another reason why I really am like, okay, maybe after this show, like that's what my fall project will be.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, fall of whenever.
Yeah, exactly.
What I'm kind of intrigued with is, you know, before we, you know, round out with the, you know, finishing out with the show is, you know, what do you use? What's your creative outlet now? Like, do you have a creative outlet that you like to go down? Other than making a show, a full show for the Fringe Festival, do you have another creative outlet that you like using now?
I mean, I still like playing music a lot. I'm not necessarily writing my own thing. So
yeah,
sometimes if I am in a bad mood and I'm just like, you know what, I'm just gonna sit here and play like some of these songs that I really, these old Cerebrella songs that I really like, or just practiced the guitar. Like music is still a huge part of my life, obviously. It's just I'm just not necessarily creating the stuff anymore. And I am okay with that. I'm not like, I'm like, this is how I use it. Like, you know?
Yeah. So is guitar your instrument?
But yeah, piano is my main instrument.
Yeah.
And then I'm like a very mediocre guitar player. I'm like good enough to do what I need to do.
Well, I mean, when is that not enough?
Exactly. Well, you know, it was actually funny when we were recording the demos. I did have someone who was like actually a guitarist learn them and play them because I was like, it just sounds more confident. Like
it just. How was that hearing that, you know, played by somebody else?
It was. I loved it. I was like, this is what it's supposed to sound like in my head. This is what it sounds like. But then when I play it, I'm like, it's okay. It's like, you know, 85% of the way there. And I was like, yes.
Yeah, it's always so tough when you hear somebody else's perception mm-hmm. of your own work. Because you're tearing every little thing about it. And mm-hmm. when you're hearing somebody else, you're hearing them as they're confident. You're hearing them as that.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, there's so much emotion tied up into it too is, you know, like if you have somebody come and say, oh, I really liked that. You're like, yeah. But this could have been better, and this could have been better.
Exactly, I actually, when I was younger, too, sometimes, I would perform these songs in front of the people they were about. Early on, I wouldn't even say that I wrote them. Like, I would go to a lot of open mics and little coffee houses and stuff. And a lot of the time, because I was like, if they don't like it, I don't want them to be like, you're bad at songwriting. So I would either just not say what it was, or I would be like, this is an unreleased Sarah Bareilles song. And which was very well within the realm of possibility of things I was performing, but because I didn't want it to be like on me. I didn't want them to think about it like something that I created. I was just, but some of them, I remember that first one, even though I didn't say who it was by, the dawning of everyone being like, oh wait, it's about him. This is about Jared. And then I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm like, okay at this. Like, I can just tell them that, like, yes, I decided to just like tear you apart in song. Like, hooray.
So if you want your emotions tore up, hey, maybe we can have something new. Like, hey, somebody can do something and get into a song for the Fringe Festival.
People have always said that they're like, I want you to write a song about me. I was like, I really don't think you do. That's not a good aspiration.
Yeah. But if you want to hear secondhand stories through song, Allison, where can people, you know, learn more about the event?
So, like you said, I'm playing at Rock Cinema at 8 p.m. on Thursday, September 11th. And then, go to Rochester Fringe. And then I also has a link to my music Facebook. And then I just made a music Instagram because, you know,
love it.
Look at me figuring out social media at 33.
I mean, just in time for Instagram to be at its absolute nadir.
Yeah. Shut up, okay?
So I will say before
you can find my MySpace, which I did have by the way.
Top five. So it's like it was a few years ago. There was a guest, and they came on. They're like, "Wow, that was a great experience. Where can I look up the podcast on Instagram?" We're like, I don't have one. He's like, "The fuck are you doing? Right. What's wrong with you?" I'm like, "Oh god."
That's why though. I was like, everyone, and I really. Honestly, before this, I wasn't doing really enough music things for it even to be. I had a music Facebook where like you really wanted to find all my stuff, but I was like, okay, if I'm gonna like really go hard here with all the promo, and I am doing more music things than I had been before, I was like, okay, we're gonna do it. We're gonna social media.
Well, go and see Allison's Angry Girl Era : Going Hard on September 11th at 8 o'clock. Get your tickets at rochesterfringe.com and check out Lunchador Podcast Network for all of our shows. Go to lunchador.org and we'll see you next time with more Just Can't Not.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.
My soul is open to the entire audience.
Hey, this is Paulie Guglielmo, and if you'd like to hear the behind-the-scenes stories of some of your favorite small businesses in Rochester, join me for one-on-one interviews with the entrepreneurs behind those businesses. It's the Paulie Guglielmo Show podcast, and it comes out every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on the Lunchador Podcast Network.
Hello, folks. My name is Magnus. I am a host of The Mind of Magnus. It's a podcast where I focus on expanding my brain and bringing some awesome people along the way to help expand your brain. So I have some new seasons and some awesome new guests coming up this year. So join me. Send me some factoids if you have your own. I even have a call-in line. So check it out. Find me at mindofmagnus.com, wherever you get your Lunchador Podcast Network, which is everywhere.